This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is stressful enough when you are kind of roughing it and you have a bunch of kids, you're a single parent, you are staying with another single parent, and you're trying to make ends meet while going to school and meet everyone's needs. That's a lot of responsibility. That's a lot of stress. It doesn't help things when the house you're sharing is haunted as shit and the ghosts like to undo the things you've done. Kids are good at that. That's to be expected most of the time. You set something up. Oh, look how it got torn down. That's understandable. That's kind of part of life. But what about when it's the ghosts that are doing this? Taking down hours worth of work, just causing problems and setting things out and doing things with stuff that shouldn't be out, things you already put away. Why is it causing these problems? Why does it seem to just want to make life that much more stressful than it already is? If you haven't guessed yet, that's what happens in our next story. Ghosts on a mission seemingly to make life stressful. Take a listen. After a string of odd occurrences and encounters, I moved in with a classmate of mine and with my three kids. At the time, my daughter was 7, my son was 5, and my youngest was just over 3. My classmate was lying with her 2-year-old son in a giant 4-bedroom house and was relieved to have help paying the bills. It was a perfect arrangement for all of us. My classmate was now able to go back to work at a local club while I kept her son with us. We all soon fell into a good routine of dinner, bath time, story time, bedtime, the usual. After dinner, I'd bathe all 4 kids, settle them down for some quiet play, and then I'd go down to the main floor and do a sweeping wash, then go back up, read stories, get everyone settled in their beds. Once all the kids were asleep, I'd go into my own room and work on my laptop, usually until I was ready for bed. So this night, I was going on about my usual routine. To give you an idea of the layout, when you came in the front door, there's a foyer area with the stairs right in front. It was an open staircase curving to the right with banisters running left and right across the top floor. To the left of the stairs were a laundry room, bathroom, and den. The kitchen ran across the back of the house with the dining and living rooms on the opposite side of the other rooms. It was very easy to start at the foyer, sweep through all the rooms to the left of the stairs, through the kitchen, then back through the dining living areas, ending up back at the foyer. I did just that. I replaced the broom, mop, bucket in the laundry room where we kept it away from the kids. When I was done, I turned off all the lights and went back upstairs. It was several hours later when I heard a crashing noise from below. I was scared and I called a friend that lived nearby. On the phone, I crept down the stairs but saw nothing. At the bottom of the stairs, I went left and looked at the side door between the laundry and bathrooms, and nothing was there either. When I looked towards the den and further down the kitchen, I noticed objects all over the ground. I found nail clippers, scissors, tweezers, nail files all over the ground. I also found the plastic container. It was all kept and broken all over the place. I didn't understand how it could be out in the hall when it was kept in the windowsill in the kitchen. It appeared that the container was thrown at the far wall of the kitchen, causing its contents to scatter all over the floor, including out into the hall. Confused, I flipped on the light and stepped into the kitchen and was met by a sight that served me up yet another terrifying heart attack. On the kitchen table were the 4 chairs. They were placed on top of it facing each other as if 4 people were sitting in a circle. In the middle of the circle were my mop bucket and mop. The mop handle was wedged against the ceiling. On the counter were every dish, cup, mug, and utensil. A feeling of dread came over me, and that feeling was recognition. I was feeling the same terror I had felt at a house I grew up in, an old house as a child that I knew was haunted. I fixed the chairs and put away the mop and bucket. I left the rest until morning. That undeniable feeling that I had felt so many years again was back. A feeling of being watched. It was too much for me to bear. A few weeks later, my classmate was sleeping off a hard night at work. My children were gone with my mother to see a musical and wouldn't be back until the next day. I was making dinner, chatting with my classmate's boyfriend, He noticed what seemed to be a small bubble appearing on the ceiling above the table and showed me. Over the next 20 minutes, we watched it grow from the size of a penny to the size of a large grapefruit. We thought there must be a leak somewhere, so we searched the upper bathrooms but found nothing. It was the end of November when it got bigger. We decided to pop it. We drained it into a bucket and dumped it down the sink. Shortly after, my landlord arrived and could find nothing anywhere that could have leaked. He also didn't believe me when I showed him the small mark and told him how big it had been when we popped it. At least that time I had a grown-up witness. The next incident is the first in a series that eventually led to my moving out once again. Christmas was coming, and we set out to decorate. We came up with the idea of buying the long pieces of bendable tree-like garland to wrap the banisters. This turned out to be very time-consuming and expensive. In the end, it looked gorgeous, and we topped it off with small red bows here and there. Altogether, it probably took us about 3 hours to do up the stairs and across to left and right. A few nights later, we decided to take the kids out to play. Burn off some energy. We weren't even gone for 2 hours when we got home. It was freezing inside. We turned up the heat, but nothing would help. The furnace wouldn't even work. So we called the landlord, getting no answer from him. We decided to rough it out, sleep with our own kids in our own beds, deal with it in the morning. We lay out our beds, tons of blankets, got everyone settled, and went to sleep. The next morning, we woke up and the house was still frigid. I still don't understand how, with us two grown women and four kids between us, we didn't hear a thing. Every single piece of the decorations up the banister were taken off. It was all over the main floor. We had wound it between the poles, so there's no way it could have come undone. Plus, it had the bendable metal inside of it. So it's not like it could have just sprung off and unwound itself. My classmate was in absolute shock, completely ticked off and disturbed. She called me silly for thinking that something had taken it all off, but I refused to help put it back up. After that, every time we came home, our Christmas tree, which was brand new and on a perfectly flat floor, would be knocked over. Some kids would begin to complain of their closets. This one shared a bedroom with another who never, at this point, saw or heard anything. I began to worry why, after nearly 4 months, the closet would scare him, but I was too afraid to ask him why, and instead left a lamp on. The lamp was a basic table lamp. It had the knob that would be pushed. It would pop out the other side when it turned on. Then the lamp would begin to go off, and the child would wake up screaming. I was beginning to lose my nerves. I was afraid to be alone in the house at night, especially after putting the kids to bed. The semester ended, and an opportunity to move 45 minutes west came up. I decided to go visit and see what the smaller city was like. It was a nice smaller city with a college where I could finish my degree, so we decided to go. To myself, I thank God that my kids wanted to go. I wanted to get as far away from where we had lived as we could. I can only hope and pray that whatever it was stays in that house.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.